In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, it's almost summer and the guys are looking back at some of their favorite vacations. From Disneyland to Portland and everywhere in between, the Cubs reminisce about trips gone by. Plus, we take some time to discuss our favorite summertime activities. So grab some lemonade as COL 370 starts now. June 19th, 2016. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
And welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Vendor Terminal Lake, episode number 370. And oh, those grilled cheese sandwiches are so good.
That's awesome.
Real good. Anyways, let's get ready.
Cheese sandwich.
Let's get right into this. So I found something.
Yes.
So I decided, since I kind of ran out of Pokemon episodes, I decided not to get the more newer episodes on iTunes because they're like $20 a season or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Instead, I'm just going to wait for them to come up on Netflix because, like, season two of XY came up on Netflix. And so I just kind of, like, watched it there instead of buying it on iTunes. And then it ended, and I'm like, So I'm just going to wait for the next season to come out on Netflix. So, waiting for that. But in the meantime, the last season of Dino Charge, Power Rangers Dino Charge, is when on Netflix. So I decided I'm going to watch that and also like bounce back and forth between it and Zetan Sentai Kyuriger, which I have fan subbed of, and kind of like compare the two. And so that's been kind of interesting because like one episode had a bomb in it, but had this guy who farted miss and stuff, and but that was actually two different episodes in Kyuriger, but it was also in a different order, so it's kind of like keeping together on both of those. It's interesting.
Okay, got it. Sure, that makes sense.
Right. So, Power Rangers. I've been kind of comparing Power Rangers and Kyuriger. So Sentai versus Power Rangers.
Yes.
And Kyuriger is one of my favorite Power Rangers seasons, too. Mm.
Sentai series,
yes. Dino Thunder is still my favorite Power Rangers series. Mm.
Well, that's good.
But I haven't really seen all of the Sentai version, the Abba Ranger, but... Mm. Yeah. Damon?
So, not much obviously has been going on because I've been so busy, if you heard last week's episode. But I did actually go to the other day. I went with, yesterday, timey-wimey, whatever. I went to Whole Foods with my friend Ben, and it happened to be sample day. And there were some really awesome samples, and let me tell you, it's really great to go on sample day because you can sample all the stuff. And
free lunch?
You don't have to pay for it. There was this really awesome cheese that was soaked in a sweet rum. There was lamb burger that they had a cucumber dill yogurt sauce. They had a bread and cheese pairing. They had some shrimp and their house made cocktail sauce, which was so good, and salmon salad. So I had a lot of just food, and it was a great little time to just sort of walk around and try little things. And cherries. I forgot the cherries. There were cherries, too. They were just – everything was just so freaking good. And the best part of it was that, once again, I didn't have to pay shit. So we went there to get coffee and to buy cookies. We had some tea cookies, and I love their different varieties of their – not really tea cookies, but just like their different little types of cookies. Like they have some smaller Belgian waffles that are dipped in – half dipped in chocolate. They have some one of the things I just had was a raspberry – cream cheese cookie. It was a cream cheese cookie with a raspberry filling inside of it. Oh, it was so good. So yeah, that was my day. It was went to go comic book store and then went to go get food, and it happened to be samples. So yeah, it was a nice little lunch. Definitely. And don't I know I can't be around cheese, because that sweet rum cheese, I know I grabbed more than one piece or two pieces or five pieces. So, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were about to say that you were lactose intolerant or something.
Oh, no.
I can't be around cheese.
No. I love cheese. I can
look. You can love cheese all you want, but if you're lactose intolerant, it's not going to be like my dad loves cheese, but he's lactose intolerant, so he has to take a lactate or something like that.
Yeah, that is not the case for me. I am totally fine with cheese. So, if you happen to be in my presence and you have a really great cheese, I will probably really be asking you for it, because yeah. Yeah, it was good. Gary?
I went to the movies.
Ooh.
I revisited the X-Men universe once again.
Ah.
Oh, you went to see Apocalypse.
I did. I did go see X-Men Apocalypse. Went last night, last showing of the night, and I enjoyed it.
Good.
Yay.
It's a long movie.
I went out last night, and friends of mine were talking about the movie. I haven't seen it yet. I will try to see it, but I don't know when. But hopefully we'll get to see it in the theater. Maybe Tuesday. Anyway.
It takes a hell of a long time to get to what you think is going to be the purpose of the movie. So
it's a long movie.
It is. Let me think about the time. 2.5 hours? Maybe?
Yeah, that seems like what they're doing with superhero movies nowadays is like 2.5 hour movies.
Yeah, because it was 20 minutes of previews.
Uh-huh.
Got to see the new, I say new with a question mark, I'm not sure, preview for Doctor Strangelove.
Strange? It's not Strangelove. That's how I learned to love atomic bombs. It's a Peter Sellers movie.
So I just made all the nerds like freak out and start screaming at their speakers. Anyways, I want to see that movie just because it looks wickedly like hypnotic visually. I know nothing about the character.
It makes you feel like you would be on LSD.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, because it has a lot of Inception type visuals, in my opinion. At least in the trailer. Where he is made aware that you can bend time and space, apparently. That's my interpretation of it. So, just for that, I was like, whoa, that's wild.
Yay.
So, yeah. The movie was good. I found the fact that it takes place in the 80s annoying. Just because I think they might have overdone the 80s a little bit. It's not bad. It's just the 80s were not a good decade. So it's
wow.
Well,
I don't know. I was born in the 80s.
There's crimped hair and the fashion design and the eyeshadow. And like, I mean, there's just, it seems like a couple of elements are.
Oh, over, I see what you're doing.
Over.
You're like, girl.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, there's one character, like the side ponytail and the thing and the lipstick and the gum. I don't know. There was just something about it. It wasn't often, but every couple of times. It bothered me because it stood out to me. And if it stands out to me, then it's jarring. Like, it's taking me out of the movie. That's my issue. There's also a makeup issue towards the end of the movie once or twice. I discussed it with my friend who was with me. They also admitted they weren't sure if we were seeing – if we were accidentally seeing something you shouldn't be seeing. Yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine. It's like, for this type of a budget of a film, you should have the best God blessed makeup artist on the earth. Like, I should never be able to pick something out, like, looking at it. And this isn't about wigs. Like, I understand a lot of people wearing a lot of wigs because it's a period piece, quote unquote. You know. So, yeah.
But other than that.
No, I mean it was good overall. I'm still thinking about it. Yeah, I don't want to really to say anything to get it away because, well, by the time this show airs, it won't matter. Maybe I don't know. Because it'll have been weeks. Yeah, it's good. I guess I wish I'd read the book, the comic books.
No. No, you wouldn't have wanted to read the comic books because the comic book stories are totally different than what you're getting in this.
It's one of those things where the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of makes it so while they try to appease fanboys and everything, it is still a different universe. So sometimes they don't appease the fanboys, mainly because they're like, well, that's not right. So.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I don't have anything to say because it was good. I enjoyed it. You got to see some origin stuff. Kind of, at least as far as I think characters and things. I don't know because I never read the comic books or watched the. There was an animated series, wasn't there?
Yes.
One time for X-Men. Yeah. Actually, there was several animated series. But the animated series is that 90s one, which is like the best one.
Okay, I have a question for you too, because you're X-Men fans, or at least well-knowledged. So, I don't think this is any spoiler alert of any sort, because she should have been in the previews or the trailers. Jean Grey's back. And by that I mean, she was in the first set of movies or whatever, but then she wasn't.
Yeah.
So, well, because I think her character died or whatever. Yes. Here's my question. What is her superpower?
Telepathy.
I'm going to say depends.
No.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, in general, it's psychic. So it's telepathy, telekinesis. So in some sense... She has the telekinesis part, which Charles Xavier, which actually is more powerful of a telepath, doesn't have. But of course, then you bring in the full Phoenix Force thing, and it gets kind of weird.
Well, that's what I'm trying to ask about, because
in the movie, it's probably mainly just telekinesis or telepathy and telekinesis, the base Marvel girl powers.
Right. No. Yeah, it's the other thing. I'm not getting how they go together. I guess that's the part that's confusing.
Which one? What goes together?
How the telekinesis, telepathy, I'm grouping those together.
Uh-huh.
Goes with the transformational.
Oh.
Oh, the Phoenix Force thing?
Yeah.
It's because telepathically manipulate everything at a molecular level.
Telekinetically.
Oh.
It basically manipulate stuff with your mind.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. To put it simply.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes a little more sense. Hey, so then I got another question.
Keep going, this is fine.
It's X-Men time with Gary. Oh.
Okay, so bad guy Apocalypse.
Yeah.
What's his power? And I know he doesn't have...
I've never understood it.
Okay.
I really never understood it. All I know is, like, he's pretty much immune to anything, can change his body mass, etc.
Give me a second. To pull
we have
up.
Sources. There's this thing called the internet.
I'm sure there is. All right. So here's, David, look at that up. Here's the reason why I have a question. Because in the movie, there's kind of a cool special effect of his power. And this isn't really, I don't think it's a spoiler. Because I'm presuming somehow this was shown in the comics. He is able to break things down, like, molecularly.
Uh-huh.
But not in an atomic level. I mean, he does, but they don't go that way with the CG. It's like everything turns to sand.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of cool, but weird and confusing. Well,
I'm going to Wikipedia as opposed to my normal source just because it's quicker and simpler. So what they have listed as his abilities are genius level intellect, telekinesis, telepathy, technopathy, teleportation, immortality, invulnerability, regenerative healing factor, reality warping, super strength, speed, and reflexes, matter, energy, and mass manipulation.
Okay,
so it could be part of mass manipulation, or it's just his telekinetics aren't as strong, so they just like break everything apart.
I think it's mostly the last one, and I'm gonna say this now. Not that I think this is a big deal for people. I imagine there might be people who are parents who take their kids. Mm-hmm. I would say that there's a couple of things in the movie you might not want to take little kids.
In other words, Deadpool this movie.
No.
No, Deadpool was...
Like, you might think that it's for kids, but it's definitely not for kids.
No, you could... I think you can. There's a couple scenes. There's a couple special effects that Apocalypse does and things. It really kind of creeped me out. And I'm not a horror like person or whatever. So maybe other people like they wouldn't even blink past it. But he does some things that I was like, ugh. Like I was just not cool with the bad guy doing that thing. Like, because it was really kind of fucked up in my opinion. So I think like visually, it makes a good impact and it helps reinforce like. Takes no fucks, like, or whatever you want to think about him as a bad guy. It was just like, it really bothered me because I was like, if he's this powerful, I guess that's the other issue. It confused me greatly because I'm like, if he is really this powerful, then why is the movie the way it is? Because I would think he could just damn well do anything anyway.
Well, I mean, he's not like a genie and has ultimate cosmic power or anything, but he is the first mutant who's been around since like ancient Egypt times.
Right.
So he's been able to develop his powers have grown, etc.
Right.
So
no, that's
why he's so powerful, but he's not necessarily all powerful.
Right. No. And it's kind of explained in the movie, but he does have limitations, but I guess, limitations is about scale and scope, like size,
mm-hmm.
which explains the four assistants.
The four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, basically. So
that's literally the reason why he has four horsemen is because of the myth of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah. No, it's kind of cool to see how the four individuals get picked and then what happens with them and stuff. But
never I believe Psylocke has never been a horseman, apocalyptic horseman before, but all the rest have in the comic books.
Oh,
I think I could be. I think I might maybe Magneto wasn't, but or something.
Magneto was not, and neither was the only person who has been a horseman is Angel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, Psylocke has not been. Storm has not been, and Magneto has not been. Unless I'm missing something, which I don't think I am.
Because I thought only one of them hadn't been previously or something, but I guess I'm wrong. That's okay.
Of course, I could be wrong. So, hey, people who are listening, correct me if I'm wrong.
All the X-Men fanatics, chime in later with your thoughts on all we're getting wrong or getting right or goofing up or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. So... in some sense, this is one of the shows where we don't have any feedback, only because we're recording the show after we just recorded the show. So, but in some sense, we do have. All of this came from getting feedback.
Gary?
Yeah. Well, it's not really. Feedback. It is, but
exactly. Which is one of the reasons why it's a topic and not necessarily feedback.
Okay, so I guess we need to create a new category. Podcast audience interaction, maybe.
Isn't that kind of like feedback?
No, not necessarily. Because I think of feedback like people comment on something we did. Like it's, I always think feedback is related to something we have done. This isn't, to my knowledge, prompted topic by anything suggestion. We've done.
There we go. Topic.
I suggestion. Thought it was, wasn't it? Didn't we put a post out there?
Right? Not regarding this. No.
Okay.
Yeah, we put a post out about for stories.
Mm.
Like a long time ago. I'm sure.
A couple weeks ago, I put up a post asking for some stuff. But no, so anyways, this show, Chester had asked us a question probably now weeks ago. He's probably, what the heck? He did a two-part question. And this is, okay, so timey-wimey, back in I think it was 367, Jeff tried to bring this up as part of feedback. And I said on air, why don't we save that for later? Sorry, I didn't tell you to. This is going to be another show.
Here I am, just trying to make sure everything's covered, that Gary might have accidentally missed something. But no, he didn't miss it. Although he did miss the AJ thing.
Hey,
I had to put AJ's little thing in there. It was the Axe commercial.
So the two-part question is... what's your favorite vacation you have ever been on? And part two, what made it so special?
Huh.
Well, yeah. I kind of already have my one.
Sure.
Okay.
So mine is actually in 2000. I want to say it was 2002 because I had just turned 21. And it was actually January. So if you're thinking along the lines of like summer vacation, this wasn't a summer vacation. This was a winter vacation. But this was a winter vacation to a summerish type thing because my parents took my entire family, me, my sister, my brother, and I, to Disney World.
Ah.
Kevin had been there before when he was a little baby. But otherwise, none of us... kids had ever been to Disney World before, so that was it. I was 21, so my sister and I got to bond a little going to downtown Disney, having a drink, and going to see an improv show. This was before I liked beer. I just had like Smirnoff Ice, but I think it was fun. I think it was special because it was with family, and it was, well, it was freaking Disney World.
Well, yeah, that too.
I got to see Star Tours. We got to enjoy a little quote-unquote 4D Muppet thing. I think There was something like, I think we all really enjoyed Epcot and MGM Studios better, and not so much on Magic Kingdom, but mainly because we were older.
Yeah.
So there was just something about that. Although we did enjoy some of the rides. I think Splash Mountain was closed at the time, too. So.
Well, it was. Well, then again, you were in Florida or California. Mm-hmm. Wait.
No, I was in Florida.
Disney World's in Florida. Sorry, I always have to. I always get them confused. But Disney World's in Florida, Disneyland's in California.
But it has. They have Splash Mountain there. So, but it was closed. But it was winter, so it was winter in Florida.
Yeah.
It was warm. We were wearing shorts and T-shirts. So.
Wow.
It wasn't closed because of weather. It was closed because they were renovating it or something.
Ah.
But yeah, so it was special because it was with family. Of course, when Heather and I were the only ones who went to the water park, which was fine by me because my parents didn't know about my tattoos. And tattoos. So... I can't remember if I had both my tattoos or just one of them at the time.
Dun, dun, dun. Scandal.
Head tattoos.
So. Scandalous.
It was fun.
That's now, good.
Parents aren't so much fun. They eventually found out about my smoking, so. I think they know about my tattoos now. I can't remember if they do or not, but that's beside the point. But that's my vacation. That's why it was special. I want to go back. I kind of want to just like go back by myself so I can explore on my own and not have to worry about anybody else. And do the whole like package with the plan and the thing and the stuff and the whatnot. So.
Huh.
How about you guys?
Huh. I'm trying to think about my favorite vacation I've ever been on.
Yeah, it was funny because I read the question and I was like, does it mean I have one like that's better than all the rest?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have one. Like, there's one that stands out from my childhood. There's one from my very recent adult life, and there's one from earlier in my adult life. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of like milestones for me. So I don't know if I would say I have one.
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm at right now. I'm kind of thinking of which ones, but if I had to pinpoint one of them, okay.
Like, I'm not saying it was necessarily the favorite, but a favorite. So,
yeah.
If we're just kind of being like, we're just going to talk about one right now.
Sure. So, I will talk about one of my favorites of that I'm just that keeps popping in my head was my first trip to Portland, Oregon. I think that was, I want to say 2009 or 2010. No. Later than that. I'm realizing what year it is. Probably 2011. Anyway, doesn't matter. First trip to Portland and going there and seeing my friend Mutt and his new partner, whose name has just now popped out of my head. Boy, anyway, so it was really awesome to go. I had never been to the West Coast before, and we spent one day and we went to Multnomah Falls and that was a lot of fun. Glenn. I always forget his name. So Glenn. And we went there and I finally got to meet Glenn, which was really great. And then just going and spending time and seeing this whole, this beautiful, beautiful area of the country, Pacific Northwest, and getting to experience that and being out in that area. I was at a hotel. I was able to have fun. I went out, a couple of times. We went to a bar. It was Halloween weekend, so it was also my birthday weekend, and it was a weekend before my birthday, or after. Anyway, one of the weekends. So, I got to meet people and go out and experience a new life, a new area that I've not been to before, and it just was a really great time. I really would love to go again. I didn't go last year because, bought a house, but seeing Glenn and seeing Nathan and seeing their friends and just experiencing the stuff that they did. And Multnomah Falls was my favorite thing there. Even though it was cold, it was absolutely beautiful and spectacular. I used it, the picture, as my cover photo for quite a while. It was amazing. So I would consider that one of my favorite, if not definitely one of my favorites, if not the favorite, just because of all that I got to experience. And going a few times, the next couple of years was really nice too. 1 year. Anyway. Gary?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on the one thing.
Great radio.
Sorry. Well, I'm trying to figure out if I really want to pick one.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to pick one. I mean, we're just saying, hey, you may not necessarily have like an absolute favorite. You have a whole bunch of favorites, but pick one or two. I mean, my family once, my brother and I, speaking of another vacation was great. Brother and I twice actually did baseball tours, where we left Rochester and went to see so many baseball games in so many days, and we traveled around. So I think the first one we went to St. Louis, then we went to Houston, we went to Arlington, Texas. We took a right turn at Albuquerque on purpose. Saw a game in Denver and got to see our Aunt Jean. And came back home. The next year, we did the Great Lakes tour, where we went to Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Cleveland, Cincinnati. So we went to each of those. We went to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We went to Detroit, and I felt really icky because it was back in Tiger Stadium, their old place, which I think that was the last year of it. And it just felt icky. I didn't like, I was like, I can't wait for this game to be over because I don't want to be here.
Wow.
Went back to Chicago because, Chicago has two teams, Cubs and White Sox. I really like Wrigley Field, by the way. Went to White Sox game on the way back and then drove back to Rochester.
Huh.
So we've had two baseball tour trips and those were really, really fun.
Mm.
Also, I kind of miss the Astrodome. It was really nice. Of course, 10 years after we went to the Astrodome to see an Astros game, I, being now in Texas, for my birthday, treated myself to an Astros baseball game, drove down to Houston, got to see it at Minute Maid Park. In fact, I took a picture of Minute Maid Park, and somebody saw it and wanted to put it into like a promotional thing. That was kind of cool. So I got a Minute Maid Park shot, and I saw a game there. So there's some examples of some trips.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of my vacations are trips. that I'm thinking about today. So, like, for instance, the one when I was a child, we went on a 3-week vacation, I think it was. We drove from Pennsylvania all the way down to Florida, visited my great-grandparents, stayed with them for the week, then drove from Florida over to Texas, to San Antonio for a convention, did sightseeing, so I got to see the Alamo, got to see Riverwalk, and spent most of the days playing a Pac-Man arcade game in a diner about 3 or 4 blocks away from the hotel. Because my parents and a friend at the time, through the organization my parents were friends with, they had friends and they had a son, Robbie, who was a couple years older than me. So our dads would give us like $5 a piece to go get lunch and get lost for a while. So we found this place that had a country fried steak and this like tabletop arcade game, you know, with one seat on each side or whatever. And we just basically blew our $5 on playing video games for hours. So, but then, you know, the parents were kind of like, where have you been? Like, you know, because we would come back and be happy with no money, you know, but, you know, and they were like, where did you go? Oh, we went to this great place, blah, 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 you know. So we went to this restaurant type thing. And consequently, they ended up coming with us. And then my dad and Bob, Robbie's dad, got addicted to the country fried steak. And so it must have been like 2 days in. So every day they were eating it.
Wow.
Well, because, you know, this is, gosh, 82, 83. So now everybody knows what country fried steak is. I mean, you can get it practically in any city anywhere, especially if you got a Bob Evans or something like that.
And it's properly named country fried steak instead of chicken fried chicken or chicken fried steak.
Yeah. So that, I mean, it was a big, big deal because we hadn't really ever had, you know, that before. So they were picking out on that.
South.
Yeah. And then we, so we were there for like a week or so, and then we drove all the way back to Pennsylvania. So that one really stands out to me because it has some really good fond memories when I was younger. And I was not happy about being in the back part of the station wagon for the trip.
Oh, the back part's the best.
Well, it's very,
the way back,
it's not very comfortable.
I mean, the intent of the way back is more for like loading and stuff.
Well,
it's
right,
not
so,
meant for seats.
Well, right. So that's the thing, is like the cooler and the clothes and everything, all the luggage was in the middle. And the back section was mine. It was my zone. So, like, it was all mine. Like, I could nap back there. I could read. I could play games. Like, it was, you know. For lack of a reference, it was an older child's playpen. But it's not that comfortable. Like, you're kind of forced to, like, sit. Like, you can't sit normal, like, you know, with your feet on the ground and your knees.
How old were you at this time?
That's a great question. Probably about 8 or 9.
I think I was like, no, I was probably more like 4 or 5 when we took our vacation to Colorado, and I got to sit in the way back while my sister and my brother got the middle seat.
Yeah, and for those of you that are younger, you're probably like, you did what? Yeah, there was a time when we were completely reckless as an American society.
Yes.
And like, you would go riding in the back of an open cab of a truck.
Yeah.
You would be in the back of a station, what we call a station wagon, but now are kind of called crossovers, which is just a joke to me.
Well, crossovers.
We made SUVs, and then we turned, we took SUVs and we squatted them down, like with the big heavy hand on the roof, and we made them flat and fat. And I'm like, it's a station wagon.
Call a spade a spade. Call a station wagon a station wagon.
Okay, I see it. So, anyways, yeah, you could ride all the way in the back where there's no seatbelts. Like, yeah. You know, it's not meant for human cargo, quote unquote.
And of course, what's one of the things my family always, well, see, for me, for my family, usually when we're like on the big road, it's kind of like, you know when you're on the airplane and they have you buckle up during takeoff, but once you're in the friendly skies, you can unbuckle yourself. it was that was kind of how our family trips in the station wagon were. It was like in the city, it was like, buckle up for safety, buckle up. And okay. But once we were on the road and going, it's like we were crawling all around. We were unbuckling. We were unbuckled, lounging in the car.
Wow. Nice.
I guess I didn't have that luxury because we were in Cadillacs and whatnot. And there are only so many seats and there was no back.
You didn't get a station wagon.
No, our family did not have a station wagon. We had a Buick and an Oldsmobile. And a Cadillac.
I mean, big cars, but nothing hatchback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the cars I remember, growing up. and going on family trips, but also realized we didn't really go far. We went to Kings Island, which now is in my backyard, basically. And we went to family reunions, and we went to... I remember us going to St. Louis and doing Six Flags in St. Louis one year. Yeah, it all depends. So,
yeah, so like that's the one from from my childhood, and then 6 years ago, approximately at this time, I went to San Diego. Well, 5 years ago, I went to San Diego, and that was a big trip because that was like the first real vacation I had taken as an adult on my own, like not with anybody else, solely flew out. I mean, and that's how I met the 619 Bearcast, those peeps, and they were very gracious and hosted me, and I got to travel, saw San Diego, went to Anaheim, went to LA, saw West Hollywood. So that one really stands out to me because I did something I'd never done before. I always kind of went on vacation with family or did things with other people. So yeah, that one was a big deal to me just because, I don't know. I like doing things with people. I don't have to, but so, and then the most recent one was actually this past fall when I went back to New Orleans and we celebrated, Jeff's 50th. We did a vacation week, and so I got to Drew's in Orlando. We Thelma and Louise road tripped it over to New Orleans and back, and we had a great time there. So they're all different, and I don't want to skip. See, this is why I have a problem with this topic, like, because then like the year before we went to Florida and did Gay Days and we all hung out and were at Drew's
with the t-shirts.
Yeah, we did the shirts and went to all the parks and we did so much stuff. It was Fierce Furry Fivesome.
There we go.
Which is now Fierce Furry Friends because we've added. So, it was a good time. I mean, and I've had other vacations with friends that I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I've enjoyed other trips. I've done trips for, school. I went to my last 2 years of, well, not my last 2 years, but in 2000, I went to Ghana, West Africa for a class, which, was kind of more school related, but I love what we did. We, instead of staying in hotels, we stayed with host families and we got to experience the food, the actual life of people, and it was so amazing there, and just the different culture. And then my senior year, my graduation present to myself after I graduated college was to sing with the concert choir I was in, and traveled with them to Europe, and we went to Italy and Switzerland, and that was freaking awesome because of just what we did. We were singing in these different churches, and that one we actually did stay in hotels and traveled along and kind of did the very touristy things. Like I went to Rome and saw the Colosseum, and went to Vatican City and went to Venice and Florence, and it just was an amazing trip, just seeing these different areas and seeing these different just this part of a life that I've always dreamed of. I was a big mythology buff in middle school. And it's just one of those things that I've always been a fan of. So this seeing this stuff and this history was amazing to me and beautiful to me. And then I'm trying to think, there was another trip. Oh, well, a big one is for Jim and I's 10-year anniversary, we went to Chicago and spent a few days there, you know, being together and going to different places. And we met our friend Carlos one time for lunch. And, you know, those are memorable trips and favorite trips for me because of what we got to do and experience there.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, Chester's second question was what made it so special. Well, each one, you know, was different. The first one was really about family. Second one that I mentioned was about independence and making new friends, seeing places, going to California. I'd always wanted to go for a long time in my life. And then I just made it happen. I just, you know, was like, I just said, screw it. I'm going to save up some money, I'm going to buy a plane ticket, and I'm going. And I did that. And then the more recent ones, the two, the Orlando and the New Orleans, were about friendship, about chosen family, honestly. It was about these people that have come into my life later that are like truly like family, you know, that care about them, you know, and love hanging out with them and the fun that we have. So, yeah, it's mostly, I think, about the company in my case that makes the memories important.
Yeah, that's true. Like who you're with or what you're going for sometimes makes it that much more memorable, you know. Going to doing the concert tours were really great to me because I was spending time, you know, it was my transition from leaving college and moving into real life without actually having to make that, you know, awkward step. It was a little like I got to spend time with still spend time with some of the college kids, the, you know, who were younger than me and hadn't yet graduated, but still be kind of an adult, you know. Didn't really set rules because, you know, we were there for a reason, but it was just very interesting to have that experience right before, you know, adulthood and life. And now that you're done with college, this is what you get to do kind of thing set in.
Yeah. It's interesting, Damon. I didn't know about all the travel that you did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was a great experience for me only because I could go on, but I won't say too much. But it was a great experience just because of what we did. Singing in these different churches and venues that we sang at were amazing. I know I did a lot of travel in college because of the concert choir I sang in. I went to Canada for the first time because of college, my college choir. I went to the Northeast for the first time, going to like New York and went to Carnegie Hall and Maine and, oh gosh, where else have I been? Well, West Virginia, but you know, our choir would go on a spring break tour. Instead of, you know, most campuses go to spring break and then go like to Florida or wherever, or have a really great time drinking and shit. We would go on college tour, concert choir tour, where we would sing in different churches on the way and be hosted by families and, you know, friends and whatnot. And then come back, you know, it was usually a week, a little bit longer depending on when we went. And I had really great time. Did I see Sears Tower that year? Possibly. No. That was high school. This was New York. So, yeah, you know, it was amazing to me because it's something I I'm glad I got to experience, because I've been places I don't know I would have been to otherwise had I not been singing, you know. And then
singing has made you become more worldly.
Yes. And the class I took was a short term. Technically, we have a 4-week short term in January, but instead we went to we put it in the summer, and then we went to Ghana, and it was several of us that went. It was an amazing experience, and they still go. They still do I don't think it's yearly, but they do it every couple of years. Yeah.
Cool. And then the only other thing for this show, my question in general was, what are our preferred summertime activities?
Hmm.
We're in June, you know, June, July, August. We, as Americans, typically think of summer because that's when, you know, if we went the traditional education route, we were in school, we got out, we basically had three months off, and then we went back to school and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right now it's playing video games. staying inside where it's nice and cool.
Yeah.
I could have bet a $20 bill that Jeff was going to say air conditioning was a part of his production.
Yep.
Well, you know, Texas. You know, yeah, just. But I get you. Like, I'm a big fan of staying indoors-ish kind of thing. You know, this is usually the summer movie season, so I like going to movies. More people tend to be not as time constrained, you know, freer to make plans and do things. Maybe, I don't know why, because, you know, not saying that I have friends who are all teachers or whatnot, but, you know, you have people that the summer kind of becomes that time where they can actually have time to do stuff, like go out and go to dinners or have barbecues or things like that. That's one thing I enjoy doing. Theater is usually light during the summer, but it does happen. As I mentioned in the last episode, right now is the Cincinnati Fringe Festival, and then after that's done, theaters tend to take bits of breaks. Some do some summer shows, but it all just depends. I know the theater up the street from us, not their company, does some summer musicals or summer shows, and they have a young people's theater company where they do shows. I think they're actually doing West Side Story, for example, and that'll be up the street. And obviously they do it now during the summer because the kids are free to, you know, actually perform. They're not, you know, they don't have to worry about school. So I love summer when I can relax and be in my AC and just, you know, hang out with friends I haven't really gotten to hang out with, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's funny because I had to think about it, and I was like, well, what do I enjoy for summertime activities? Because I don't do traditional stuff. Like, yeah. Here where I live, we have the lake, so a lot of people love going to the beach. I don't. I've never really been a beach person. Part of it has to do with the fact that we have a natural body of water, lake, mm-hmm. and I don't like those beaches. I like ocean beaches.
Mm.
The water is different. The sand is different. So I'm not that way. I'm not a big camper in that.
Yeah.
I did it when I was in Boy Scouts, and it totally ruined me and gave me psychological trauma. So I like going to gay camp. But that's I, you know, don't sleep on the ground. And
I'm really looking forward. I like going to Roseland, and I I would do it once a year, and I don't really need to do it that much because I kind of get the experience. And this year, last year, we stayed in a junior deluxe cabin, and it was okay. You know, you had an AC unit, you had, you know, a little fridge, you had a bed. You know, it was pretty nice. This year, we're staying in one of the rooms.
Oh, so you're doing the B&B thing?
Yeah, we how do I put it lightly? The room that I ended up getting was only $5 more a day than the junior deluxe cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a room with, you know, four walls and you know, air conditioning, hopefully, and, you know.
Do you get breakfast?
I don't think it's included, but I have to remember. I don't believe so. But okay. No, I'm loving that I wanted to try not doing that 1 year, but it just to me made more sense.
You wanted to try not being a pussy?
Hey now. Oh, hey. Thanks. Hey. Says the man who lives in Texas and can't stand the heat.
Look, I moved down here for love. I just never moved back.
There you go. No, I don't think there's breakfast, but there is a small refrigerator. We're in the grant. You know Rosalind, Gary. So we're in the granary. Keep forgetting.
And by the way, I have camped plenty of time on the ground and everything, even in nowadays, even afterwards. I just have chose not to go out socialize, that's all. And plus, I don't have a tent right now, so that doesn't help.
That's all good. It's okay.
All right.
But yeah, actually it's $5 less than the junior deluxe cabin. So that's why I did that route. Got it. Yeah. Sorry. So it's in the granary. I don't know if you know, like Gary,
yeah,
I know.
The granary building's right across the hall or right across the road, quote unquote, from the main rec hall.
Yeah.
Are you staying? Do you know what the name of the room is that you're staying
in? The Overlook room, as I'm looking at the.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's two of them. So the Overlook is on the back side of the building, looks out to the valley. I used to, when I was working at the campground, the remaining seasons, not the very first season, but the remaining seasons, I stayed in that building.
Oh.
So if you want a little bit of COL history, I don't suggest recording it with your phone because I don't know how that would go over. But anyways, when you walk into the granary, Damon, and you look, as soon as you walk in the hallway, on the right-hand side, there's going to be a door.
Uh-huh.
There'll probably be maybe three doors. Mm-hmm. The very first door is the room that I stayed in, which is not really a room. It was like a big closet. Anyway. it had enough room for a single bed. It had a very teeny tiny closet. I think a chair. And I don't even remember if it had a desk.
Oh.
Yeah, it was super small. But it was staff accommodations. And then if there's three doors, the second door I think is to the water closet or not water closet, but where the furnace and the rest of that stuff is.
Yeah.
Boiler. And then there's a and then there'll be a third door, and that's the door that goes to the barracks, which is upstairs. So you take those stairs and you go up, and then the barracks is an open room concept. Mm-hmm. At least it was when I worked there. It's been quite some time now.
It's probably the same.
Yeah, and it's like eight open beds in a big open room. So there's no dividing. It's literally like army barracks. Nicer, quote unquote. But and then there's at the end of the hall, straight ahead from the door that you walk in, was the only bathroom in the building. Mm-hmm. And there's a toilet. There's a shower stall. And then right before that on the left is the overlook room, which is the room you guys are in. And then in front of that room is it the Rose Room? I can't remember. Corn Crib.
Corn Crib? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've been there, but I worked there for a handful of years, so.
Yeah. It's nice. I'm look, like I said, I'm looking forward to trying one of the runes. We didn't try one last year, and I wanted to, you know, when I saw, ultimately, I wanted to see, I wanted to experience it as an actual quote unquote campground. Right? I was in a cabin, but still, you know, and I like the cabin. I can get why those are nice. You know, you're kind of off to your own. You're secluded. Sort of, well, not secluded, but you're, you know, off to yourself. You can be in your own little self-contained little room and be fine. With the room, I want to try just experiencing, you know, not having to deal with any weird outside stuff. You know, that's sort of the thing I like. And when I found that it was available, I was like, okay, let's go that route, because it's, one, cheaper than the deluxe cabin, and two, enclosed in a building.
And you get to bring less stuff, if I
remember. Yeah. Because you don't need to worry about linens and all that stuff. And yeah, it's even got a little dresser. Like, yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, sorry. We've diverted from the topic kind of thing.
No,
I like, there's a part of me that wouldn't mind camping at one point. I've never done it before. The most camping I've ever done is like over summer break, you know, Bible school camping. And I think a few years ago, when Jim and I were first starting to date, we went to a, like a Pensac or a some like SCA event, and we ended up staying in a bunk bed, you know, bunk room, you know, in a bunk with, you know, other people, and, you know, having to walk, quote unquote, to get to the, you know, the bathroom wasn't right there, kind of thing. And that was really kind of nice. It's just not something I'm a personal fan of, but, you know, if I've seen some friends of mine camping, and there's a big part of me that wouldn't mind trying that, because they're, you know, I've seen the tents that they have, and I'm like going, well, that's pretty much a room, you know, like the only difference is you're not necessarily on the ground. You've got a, you know, tent covering you, and then you've got some of these people get like fucking, you know, air mattresses and double
up
mattresses, you know, and so
that's what you do.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I don't know. Like when I think of camping, I think of the sleeping bag, you know, not necessarily under the stars, but in a tent on a sleeping bag, you know, not very comfortable, bugs everywhere kind of thing. Yeah. No for me, but, we'll see. But I don't know about camping. Like, that's my thing. Like, there's a part of me that actually wants to try that, just because I've never had an opportunity to do that. I didn't do Boy Scouts. We could not afford it. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So mine's, I look forward to pool parties. I look forward to hanging out with friends. This summer I'm going to a concert in July.
Ooh.
Looking forward to, a road trip or two, I think, is more the thing that's going on with me, getting out of town. So,
yeah.
Like, I went, you know, already went to Drew's. We went to, you know, went to Toledo. We went to Detroit. Went to Ann Arbor. Went to Jackson. You know, did some of that stuff. And we might do that again later this summer. Going to go to a convention again with my dad. So yeah, just stuff like that. It's not big things, but I think it's important because I miss them when it's winter and I don't go anywhere, or the weather won't let you get anything done. You know.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah, that's sort of the thing. I love this time of year because you have the time, you know, to really potentially do stuff. You know, usually for me, I have chorus starting in August, September, and that's, you know, chorus is pretty much what I do until, you know, June, July, depending on the year. Like this year, it'll go through July. And it'll be nice to have that opportunity to oh, you know, I want to, you know, friends want to go out of town to, you know, like a concert or go someplace and stay overnight. I like that idea. So, yeah. Cool. Anyway.
Yeah. You know what? I think it's time for this. Speaking of summer, Papa Bear's out for a swim.
Hold on. Let's get that open. Oh, wait. Oh. Hi.
I've seen him before, and I like seeing him every time I see him.
Yes. Hello.
Although, I'm not sure if I've seen him before, but...
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Papa Bear. Muscular. Yes. Cinnamon and sugar.
Yeah, cinnamon and sugar. Yeah.
He's the just looking though. At you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice butt.
Nice butt.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Kindly.
I don't think we have much to say for that besides
Okay. So this is an odd one. It's called Pantsless Equilibrium, and that's what it actually titled it as. And it's just, it's an odd, it's just, it's kind of cool. So you've got a guy doing a bit of a handstand, but kind of in a crouched position.
I think it's a named yoga position.
Possibly. I don't particularly care, but what it's called.
Naked
but,
yoga.
Yeah, it's a naked yoga bear with the nice beard and very, very furry. Yeah. It's really awesome. When I saw it, I was like, that's sweet. And okay. It's not just pantsless. It's... No, completely it's naked. It's naked.
Now, I think I could be wrong, but I think you can just barely see a little bit of ball sack.
Yeah. Yes. It's
just. It, I mean, it could just be a tuft of hair or something.
No,
in the right place, but
no,
I'm pretty sure it's a little bit of ball sack.
Yeah, this would be almost Facebook appropriate if it wasn't for that little bit.
I mean, it was on Instagram.
True.
Like, if you click on the image, it takes you to Instagram.
Ah, well, I didn't have
Alpha Designers Instagram, so.
But still, you know, sexy guy, nice, like I said, nice beard and everything, just some strengths.
Yeah. It is a yoga pose.
And
I'm really freaking getting irritated because all these charts, they're showing it, but I can't find one that I can zoom in on that names it.
Ah.
No.
Like, really? Because it's an advanced move.
Yeah.
Like, I know I sure as hell can't do it. Of course, I can't hardly do any yoga poses anymore because I haven't done yoga in forever, but... this one in particular, I remember seeing that's done, you know, when you're really fit, and you kind of know what you're doing and stuff. Cause you're basically supporting your entire body on your arms in that, tucked squatted position. I don't know what else to call it, you know, that he's doing. Click here for full resolution. Come on, come on. Give me the damn picture, Google.
This is Gary's OCD being like, it's a yoga pose. What's it called? What's it called? I didn't know what it's called.
Well, yeah, because, you know. All right.
So whenever he's told to assume the position, this is the position that he assumes.
Who's told that?
It's a joke, Gary.
I was like, are you talking about me?
No.
Okay.
I'm referring to him, Alpha Designer.
Damn it. Okay. So I don't know what the American name is. The Hindi, I believe it's Hindi name, is Parsva Bakasana. Put that in your
Sounds place. Complicated.
Well, it looked complicated, doesn't it?
Gary, what do you got for us?
Oh, sorry. Back to that. I have same guy from the last episode. Different set of pictures. Told you I was a little infatuated with him.
A little.
Yeah. This is a day at the beach. So the gentleman that likes to take pictures of his hot husband, yeah. There's a series of them at the beach. In the sand, in the going into the water. They're in a nude beach. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
At least I presume it's a nude beach because he's nude. Now, the other people in the pictures aren't nude, but, like, no one seems to be concerned. So.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it's a nude beach. Just no requirement to be nude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Moving on into the links. So while being bored one night, I decided to see what's going on Hulu. And what was recommended for me was a show called Sword Art Online. Basically a new game, virtual reality MMO, is being released. And on the first day, people pop on their virtual reality equipment called Nerve Gear and jump into Sword Art Online, and they can't log out. And if somebody tries to take off their VR equipment, their brain will be fried. If they die in the game, their brain will be fried. They die. In order to escape the game, they have to reach, basically, they've got to beat the game. They got to get to the final boss and defeat him. And so this takes place inside the game, obviously, and it's about a guy who was beta testing this before it was released, not knowing that what was going to happen, and his adventures. Crickets?
There we go. Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry. Oh, my God, Sword Art Online. I loved it. I haven't seen all of it just because I only caught it when it was on Adult Swim, but it's really, really, really good, and you'll love it. Like, it just, oh.
Yeah, I'm on episode 8. I've just been watching it here and there, so.
Yeah, it's, how do I put it?
No, were you watching it dubbed or subbed?
Dubbed, because it was Adult Swim.
Okay.
But
I'm watching.
What was they had the Sword Art Online one, and then they do another one. Like, there's a second one or a third one or something like that. Where
Sword Art Online 2. It looks like that's just referenced here.
And there's I don't know if there's a second one or a third one, but there's one where he's not in the Sword Art Online game anymore. He's in a like a modern game with like shooters and. Guns and such, and it's interesting what they do with that one. I don't know if it was an OVA or whatever, but I highly, highly recommend this series because it's just so freaking amazing. And I just watched the dub version, so the sub version is usually much, much better.
Yeah, so check it out over in Hulu.
Sweet.
Available air.
Uh-huh.
Damon, what do you got?
So this is another YouTube video that I think I found over on Google Plus, but not Alan giving it to me, but someone else did. And I'm not quite sure the story behind it because I didn't really read it. I just watched it, but it's Tamworth Bear lip sync battle, and it's a guy, very bearish guy with a nice beard, performing. And I'm telling you, I'm not going from the movie Dreamgirls. And it's just fun. He's a nice looking guy and he does a really great job with it. Oh, it's in London. So there you go. Yeah. So it's
Bears just, Lake it's, singing a diva song.
Yeah. And he does a really great job with it.
It looks like it so far.
Yeah. There's a little surprise at the end, but not as big a surprise as you would expect, but it's cute.
It's there.
It's cute, yeah.
Hey, guess what, folks? That's the end. By the way, to contact us, pop over to CubsOutLoud.com. Shoot us an email at CubsOutLoud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice. That's 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/CubsOutLoud. Tumblr, CubsOutLoud.tumblr.com. Twitter at Twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Google+, Google.com/+CubsOutLoud. Join us over on the official Bear website at Cubs Out Loud, BearUnderground.net. Join us in the Cubs Out Loud entourage there. Say hello. You can say whatever you want there. Also, pop over to iTunes. Rate us. The more you rate us, the more other people will find us and gets to join in the fun. Also, you can subscribe to us over on the Google Play Podcast. And if you listen to us on Stitcher Radio, give us a thumbs up. Appreciate that very much. Find me anywhere on the internet. It's Box Thick, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box something or other.
I am either TheaterCub79 on Tumblr, Hefnet, you know, Bear sites, and pup_umbra or pupumbra79 on the more kinky or fetish sites.
And I can pretty much be found anywhere on the internet as GearBear73.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one, y'all.
As I was looking it up, I believe the pose is called the crow. Maybe. I don't know. Still sexy, though.